Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the consistently changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to the show. Each and every week, we bring to you guests as well as information. Hey, it's almost spring buying season. Now, what does that mean? Most times that we talk about the spring buying season, it's when everybody decides to sell their home. Everybody's excited. There's a rush of product to the marketplace. Prices are stabilized and the mortgage interest rates are such that we have a lot of buyers out there that can afford to buy a house. Well, it's not really that way today, and we're going to get into that, obviously, during the show. Talk about inventory, talk about mortgage rates, inflation rates, the war, just a lot of stuff that affects not only people's psyche, but also the actual price in the marketplace. So we're going to bring on our psychologist of record, Dr. Jeannie Bartoli, today to talk some about how the buyers and sellers in the marketplace, especially one like now, what they feel about buying and selling. I don't know. We talk about the Michigan sentiment on both the economy as well as housing and housing prices, purchase and sales, and we see that sentiment go up and down all the time. And it is currently at such a precarious state that we're not quite sure what consumers are thinking. The economy looks good, but economic news is not great. The stock market is terrible, yet we see, you know, 500,000 people get hired last month. So it's not sure what's going on. Now, we would think in a spring buying season, normally we would have a very steady rate for mortgages. Last year, there was an aberration in that by March, which is what we consider the spring buying season start, even though we talked about last week how it may be starting earlier, we said in the March sentiment for what is going to happen throughout the spring and through the summer, because we have more housing on the market, because rates are, the market's pretty good. We're doing all right. And as I said, that's not the way it is this year. So let's get right into it. The 30-year fixed rate loan a month ago was 5.87. 5.875. Okay. What is it today? It's at 6.875. So what does that mean? It means that we have no idea where mortgage rates are headed because it's not tied to anything. We want it tied to something. Usually we say, okay, it's tied to the 10-year. So what is the 10-year? 3.951. Okay? And we also know that the Fed is probably going to raise interest rates because, and that's interest rates not on mortgages, but of course on the Fed borrowing, the Fed funds rate, and that's the overnight interbank rate that they charge each other for the liquidity required by the federal government in order to stay in business. That's a big number, and that is supposed to dry up excess money in the marketplace, i.e. cooling inflation. But what have we got? Yes, we've got an added $1 trillion in mortgage debt last year, but that really hasn't affected the excess money in the system, and this is the other thing. What is not in the system and not controllable is the supply of housing in the marketplace. We just don't have them. There's a number of factors for that, but we just don't have housing enough in the marketplace to satisfy what we need, both on the rental side and on the purchase side. And that's what's hurting a lot of the affordability and also driving mortgage interest rates higher. Because if the bank sees they can get it, they're going to get it. And it's not about the money that they borrow from the federal government, because that's really where all this money comes from, right? It goes right back to where the money's being printed, how it's getting lent out, and who is getting the bulk of the discount when they do lend out that money, and is that discount to larger banks, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Citibank, I mean, you name it. These 5 to 7 institutions are the ones that get the huge 10-to-1 borrowing rate, plus the discount on purchased money in the future and how that gets passed on to you in the form of, you know, car loans, credit cards, but more importantly, to those mortgage bankers through those entities to then give you a mortgage. We talk about United Wholesale. We talk about Rocket. Jay Farner's leaving. I don't know if anybody heard that, but he's leaving Rocket. And as everyone knows, United Wholesale, the owner, Matt Ishbia, he just bought, what did he buy? The Houston Rockets, right? Houston Rockets and their Houston Mercury, something like that, of the WNBA and the NBA. So he's into doing whatever he's into doing. Okay, so let's just talk rates. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty of what it is. The 6.875 is the 30-year fix. 6.07 is the 15-year. 6.25 is FHA. 6.35 is the jumbo. And 6.65% is the 5-1 ARM. 5-1 ARM in the 30-year, as we said, shouldn't be that close. But they don't want you to do the 5-1 ARM. 5-1 ARMs used to be for people who wanted to get in and get out quick. They got a low introductory rate. It was the lowest payment possible, and they could get out. Well, that's not what this pricing is. So, therefore, they're not really trying to sell you that particular rate. The 2-year is at 4.731, and as I said, the 10-year is at 3.951. That's almost a point. It's 0.8% in terms of the spread. And as we have been saying, and, of course, now we are not saying, this has been really the tune to economic data over the past 2.5, almost 3 years since COVID, because of the infusion of the money, scarcity of product, inflation going up. Yeah, we just don't know what really is the foretelling of a recession in this particular market. We just don't know, because the old way to look at it just doesn't exist anymore. We would talk sentiment. Well, the sentiment, the consumer sentiment, goes up and down. We would talk prices. Well, the consumer price index, the producer price index, that also has been coming down little by slowly. So last month, 6.5% inflation. We've seen some things indicate that we may have a tighter labor market, because 450,000 people were hired last month. So does that mean that we're going to get wage inflation? Probably. What does that mean for overall inflation? Now, we see also numbers like rent. Across the country, rent prices have been falling. I think it is, I have it here somewhere. Let's see, it's 12 months in a row. Yes, as we've seen those particular prices fall, rent and real estate are, and mortgage payments, that's roughly 40% of the consumer price index. So, like I say, it's falling, but not falling fast enough. So inflation is strong, so we're going to see the Fed step up. People are calling for another 75 basis point hike again. 2 weeks ago, we were down to, we're only going to have two more 25 basis points hikes by the Fed again. And again, it's not mortgage interest rates, but it contributes to the psyche of Americans. So you get consumer price index, you get the Michigan index, you get a lot of these particular indices and indications pointing to a very confused market. And so what are you to do if you're a first-time home buyer and you're looking to buy in San Bernardino, Riverside counties, and out by our KCAA towers, and you're looking to get into a, you know, nice condo for $350,000 or less? Are there a number of condos out there to do that? Can you get into something like a single-family home for under $400,000? Now, I'm throwing these numbers out because that, to me, they're big. And for these areas of the listening audience that we're talking about, this is the new, and this is the new real. These prices will be there. And from my reading, looks like the prices are going to continue to go up. Last year, looks like 6.5%. was the year-over-year increase. Now, we've seen decreases in the increase, which is always confusing. If you see an increase go 10%, 11%, 12% every other year, and now we're seeing, instead of 12%, we're seeing 6%, 6.5%, now we're seeing maybe 4% for the year, it's still going up, but it's not going up at the rate. So when people are talking about the decline in the rate of increase, it confuses people. Just say, hey, it's not going up as fast, but it's still going up. So if you're thinking somehow you're buying into a market that's losing value, that's not true. One of the incentives to be able to get into the market and buy something is that we still see the increase in the value of properties across all markets. There are some which are less in terms of increase in the value, but a lot are still increasing in value because of the scarcity of product. And believe it or not, the affordability index for a lot of those buyers, yeah, it's not good. Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@MalibuFunding.net. Now, back to the Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to the show. Each and every week, we bring to you information that's going to help you in your decision, whether it's refinance, whether it's purchase, whether it's just informational in terms of programs. You know, a lot of times people are so worried about the rate. They lose sight of the actual value of whatever it is they can afford at the time they can afford it. And sometimes they have to go a non-traditional route. And to that end, we brought another expert onto the show, and she joins us now from ACC Mortgage. I want to give you the phone number. Thank you very much. Andrea Johnson from ACC. And if you want, you can call her, but I'll let her shout out that phone number. Andrea, how are you?
Hi, Jeff. I'm great today. How about yourself?
I'm okay. Thank you very much. Woo! That was tough. Everybody who's listening to the show doesn't know, but we had a little technical glitch over here, but we fixed it, it seems. Thank you very much for coming on to the show.
Sure.
Okay. Tell us something about what is happening over at ACC. We have a changing market, of course, but is it all about rate or is it more about programs and getting people into a loan that they can then adjust possibly at a later date?
Definitely that. We're slow and steady over here, consistent
okay.
with what we do. So we see the market, we see the changes. We are about getting to the table, and that has changed here recently on what that looks like for most borrowers.
Okay, that's very good. So what is that like? I mean, are you talking about borrowers that are looking at solutions rather than rate-based? They're looking at programs by which they can get in, qualify, and get into the house they want.
Correct. We're changing into a deal, no deal market.
Okay. Okay. So
we're not really racing at rate. The programs that we're dealing with and the loans that we're seeing, we're not in that, you know, Chase, Wells Fargo, Prime competition. We're
right.
in the we can get you to the table smoothly and quietly, or no deal.
Give us an example. Give us a loan that people would be familiar with, but maybe not how to get into it.
Okay, great. So you got a self-employed borrower.
Okay.
And the self-employed borrower does not understand that the FHA commercials that come on late at night don't apply to them.
Right.
Because highly likely the general business owner has taken all tax advantages that they can, and they've written off most of their income. So they don't understand you can't have it both ways.
Right.
You don't get to write off all your income and get the FHA loan. You're going to pay Sam or you're going to pay the down payment. Pick one.
Okay.
It's going to be one or the other.
No, that's very good. That's very good. And it's a very easy choice to see once you understand
Correct.
Who you are. So this self-employed borrower, they are they're writing off as much as they can. What kind of program are you going to offer that person?
We have a couple of options.
Okay.
We have bank statement loans.
Okay.
We have some people that are, you know, gig workers where a 1099 option would be better for them. We also are seeing more of the hybrid borrower where they're both self-employed and they have a job. And that borrower works very well with either our bank statement loan or our profit and loss loan, where they can actually just say, hey, this is all of my income on one sheet.
Okay, on the profit and loss, let's talk about that, because I think a lot of people misunderstand what exactly that is. And if you could lay out simply in a couple of sentences what you expect on that profit and loss in order to qualify a borrower.
Okay. Well, a profit and loss loan is the simplest and closest thing we can get to no doc loan for an owner-occupied property.
Okay.
All right, so it's going to have to simply be income and expenses and a net bottom line. We don't have a fancy format that has to be in. We just need it to make sense. It's unaudited. It does need to be filled out by a tax person,
okay.
but it's not audited. So you can say, this is my lump sum income. Here are my basic expenses. This is what I'm left with. And it needs to be enough to DTI.
And these are all verified through the bank statements in terms of the deposits on a monthly? How does that work?
No. The profit and loss document is the income for the loan.
Okay. Okay, so in terms of that, is there a CPA involved, or as you said, just a tax person?
It can be a CPA or just someone who's authorized to do taxes.
Okay.
Anyone with a PCIN number could complete the document.
Okay, that's good information. Now, the down payment...
Very good information.
Yeah, the down payment on the house in a loan like that where someone would present you with that documentation is what?
We're going anywhere 15 to 20%.
Okay, so this isn't unlike a standard conventional 30-year fixed. If you want the best rate, you're going to put 20% down. So this is not, you know, way, you're not asking for 25, 30%. You're asking for 15 to 20.
Right, and it's really going to come down to, it's an income situation. That person can't qualify the other way.
Okay, so and how often, and what kind of credit score are you looking for on that?
We'd like at least a 680.
So this is a very good loan. You must be doing a lot of these.
We do a lot of those.
Right.
Yes. We do a lot of loans for the self-employed as well as immigrants. We do a lot of those programs.
Okay. And in doing these kind of programs, you do them nationally? You just locally here in Southern California?
We do them nationally.
Well, there you go. So anybody out there who's listening right now who's looking for a solution, this is the solution. Now, of course, cost, rate, those sort of things are all, you know, considerations. But as you said, getting people to the table, actually giving them a solution to get the loan is really the main purpose of this particular type of loan. Yes?
Absolutely. A lot of times they can easily refinance situationally or financial document-wise 1 year later. But they need to get the house today. It's an easy fix.
And is this...
I save a lot of loans every month, let's say that.
Oh, no, that's good. No, I bet you do. No, that's very good. I know you do that for Malibu Funding, too. They're the sponsor
Absolutely.
Of the show, and we obviously really appreciate what you do, which is one of the reasons I wanted you on the show, because solution-based lending is really what you guys do, and obviously offering that type of program, people can see, hey, you know what, this is a way to get in the door. And as you said, is it mostly for purchases? Is it DSCR type loans? Is it investment properties? Or is it all just single family type residential properties?
No, it's a little bit of everything.
It's
single family residential. It's mixed use, up to 8 units, commercial, small residential. It's a little bit of everything. There's second homes involved. A lot of times it's purchase money, but we do a lot of refinances, especially when they're situational. You got somebody coming out of a situation, credit situations or life situations, but their money is good.
Oh, this is, like I say, solution-based, like it a lot.
Absolutely.
Now, we've seen over the last, I don't know, 5 to 6 months, 4 or 5 lenders in this particular area go out of business or stop this
mm-hmm.
particular type of lending. Tell us
a
little bit about ACC and their financial backing, just so people have a good comfort feeling knowing that you guys not only are going to be there, but can offer these programs for an extended period.
Yeah. This is year 24 for us.
Okay.
We've been here. This is what we do. We're committed to bettering the community and financial positions of our customers. We've never stopped lending, even through the pandemic. Like, we are solely a non-QM lender. We don't dance around and touch other stuff, which is why we don't go out of business.
No, I like that very much. And as you said before, these types of programs are really solution-based. Do you have another one? I love it. We have about a minute and a half left.
Yeah. The ICIN program, it's probably my favorite.
Okay.
It's a unique program that allows for immigrants who have an ICIN number, but the program also allows for all type of other immigrant situations. It could be a DACA borrower.
Okay.
It could be a borrower who has a Social Security number, but they never get their immigration paperwork for whatever reason. It's just all type of little twists and turns that program qualifies just about every immigration situation, and I love it. It's one of my favorites.
Excellent. Andrea, we're up against it. Could you let people know how they can get in touch with you so that they need a terrific person to talk to them about these types of loans? They have it.
Sure, absolutely. Our corporate office is in Rockville, Maryland. I am based out of Tennessee, but I am a national account executive, so I'm available nationwide. My direct number is 901-310-3000. 3035. And I can be reached at Andrea.Johnson@accmortgage.com.
Andrea, thanks very much. Really appreciate it.
You're
great
very
programs.
Welcome,
Let's
you.
Do it again. Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you. That's Andrea Johnson from ACC Mortgage. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@MalibuFunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to the show each and every week. We bring to you not only great guests, but also information, both macroly, i.e. the what's happening in the nation, what's happening in the world that might affect your decision-making, and also, in a smaller sense, micro, what's going on in your marketplace? What's going on with that particular program? Maybe you can qualify for this particular program. All of these things are based on your wanting to do something, i.e. buy a house or get a refi. A lot of times people aren't ready, or they get in the way of themselves, or other things in their world gets in the way of the primary thing that they want to do, which is to buy a house. With us once again, now Dr. Bertoli has not been on the show for some time, but she joins us now, and I'm very grateful she's given us some time to do that. It's Dr. Jeannie Bertoli, and she joins us now. Jeannie, how are you?
Hi, Jeff. So glad to be back. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. Well, you heard the intro, and most of what I'm talking about is, you know, people tend to get push-pulled a lot. Now, we talked during election season about how that gets in the way because people get really emotional. And even in these types of situations where obviously mortgage interest rates have gone up and the availability of housing is down and the different types of programs are going to cost a lot and people get really just amped up about things when really what they're trying to do is just buy a house, start out. How do you aid them? How do you get them to focus in on what's important versus the noise out there?
I am really glad you asked that. The bottom line is this. What matters to you? If you are buying your first house and wanting to grow, if you are wanting to invest, if you are wanting to sell and move and refinance, what matters the most is that you are true to your goals and not that you get caught up in, as Jeff said, that noise. But get grounded. Take a deep breath by yourself or with your partner and say, this is our life and we decide what we want and to create it. And do not let other things get in your way.
That is excellent advice, and I want to let people know that not only is Dr. Bertoli terrific at what she does in this world, but also as an investor and somebody who has bought and sold a lot of real estate all over the country. So this is somebody who not only knows what she's talking about psychologically, but also in the investment world. So you're getting from this talk today real-world answers to how an investor operates. How is your business?
You know, it's really true, Jeff. My goals have shifted since you and I started talking, what, maybe about 10 years ago.
Right.
And as my goals shift, I make decisions accordingly. But I will not be, if things like circumstances change, COVID changed us, interest rates change us, prices change us. But my goals are my goals. And I'm looking to find a way to deal with that. If that means a different market, if that means a different price point, I am still going to meet the goals of me and my family. And I wanted a bunch of properties at one point. I want fewer properties but more localized now. No matter what my goal is, I'm not going to be deterred. And I recommend to your listeners, do not be deterred by circumstances. There are always deals. There are always fines. There are always distressed properties. There are always neighborhoods that have opportunities. Just seek the opportunities and do not get into the discouragement and do not get into the kind of naysaying that is cumulatively around you.
You know, the what you're saying is absolutely true because the follow-up in my head was the confidence with which you can make the first step is really, you know, once you're in the process and you understand at least a deal, at least you have some confidence that you can get through the deal, either buy or sell or however it works out. How do you get to that point where you can make the leap, I guess, is a fair question.
And I think the answer is to what I said at first, which is sit down, know what your goal is and why you have that goal. If your goal is to have a place because you want to have children and you want to create a home,
right,
that's a very different goal from someone who's trying to create passive income. So really understand your goal and know that no matter what anybody else is saying, there is a path to your goal. Yeah, you might have to put down more. You might have to borrow some money to put down more. You might have to pay more than you had originally anticipated. But I just want to encourage people, don't get caught up in short-term anxiety or nervousness or I didn't think, or last year it was going to be this, or 2 years ago if I'd only, you know, da-da-da-da-da. Those regrets and those opportunities gone are gone.
Yep.
Today, what do you want? Don't let today's goal be another regret that you didn't act on 2 years from now. You know, Jeff, I'm sure you and I have both. I know I have lost people in the last 10 years. Gone. They're gone. They're gone. We're going to be gone soon, too. I don't want my life wasted or deferred because I didn't take action. I can tell you this, I only usually regret things I did not do more than things that I did. Take your shot. Take your shot, people. This is your life. One shot.
So are you more risk adverse today than you were 10 years ago or less?
I think I'm just more focused today.
Okay.
I think I'm more aware. I took more risks because I was sort of trying to understand my field and my goals. And now I learned from that. And now that I'm 10 years older, I've learned and I've honed and I've narrowed and I've become more focused. I'm clear.
Well, that's excellent advice. And not only that is, I know you're an author. I know you've written a number of different things about not only process, but how you help in your chosen field, your day job, so to speak. Do we have anything else on the horizon, or you got another book here that you've written writing?
Thank you. What I'm actually doing is I am starting offering health coaching. I'm finishing my certification as a wellness and health coach.
Great.
I'm very interested in the prevention and reversal of long-term diseases, where we can have a much more vibrant and full life rather than one filled with pills and chronic illnesses and doctor's appointments. So that's where I'm really focused, and if anybody wants some help with that, I am definitely here for you.
Okay, so because you have these very interests, because you're out there in the marketplace not only as a investor, but also you have a thriving practice, time to do what one needs to do in order to investigate properties is based on formula, right? So you get real focused, you understand the profit and loss, you understand what the costs are. How does somebody figure that out on their own? I mean, you must have at one point gone to the library or figured out online somebody that could help you. How did you do it?
That's so funny. You say that, Jeff, go to the library. It's all so easily available online.
Right.
You know, it's actually not complicated at all. It's the taxes, the HOAs, a certain percentage for maintenance costs. But it's really not a complicated formula. It's a list of like 5 to 7 items. Make sure you take insurance and taxes into consideration, because those are the things I think I didn't when I was first out there. And maintenance. I strongly suggest people get a warranty, and I have a warranty on every place I own.
Good idea.
So that I'll never be hit with a $5,000 to $10,000. It's always going to be a $100 fee for anything I need to get fixed. But yeah, it's very easy to figure those costs out. And just know your budget, know where you can leverage loans and things like that. But there's always an answer. There's always an answer. And like Jeff said earlier, there are programs out there. There are credit unions and government and military programs. Figure out what you're qualified for.
Excellent. Look, we have about a minute left. Where do you see the market going? And do you see this as a buying opportunity for you?
I think this is more of a buying opportunity for investors. And I think where we're going is a stabilization of interest rates and a stabilization of pricing. I don't think it's going to make market turns up or down in the next year or two. So I that's again where I come back to, if you want to buy, buy.
Right.
If you want to sell, sell, because there's not going to be any major change at all, and you're not going to be in a different or better position in the next couple of years. So make yourself happy. Reach for your goals.
Excellent. Thank you very much. You know, we're up against it. Do you want to tell people if they can get in touch with you? I know you have a number of different skills and skill sets and businesses that you might be able to help people with. If you could give them a way by which they could do that, that'd be great.
Absolutely. I'm going to give you my phone number, 727-262-4271. And tonight, I'm going to give you just my email,
okay.
Dr. Bertoli, D-R-B-E-R-T-O-L-I, @gmail.com. Dr. Bertoli@gmail.com.
Jeannie, Dr. Bertoli, thank you very much. Once again, it was great catching up. I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you very much. That's Dr. Jeannie Bertoli. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@MalibuFunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show. We bring to you not only people, but ideas, things about what's going on nationally that might affect your decisions. Certainly locally, what's going on in the San Bernardino Riverside area. San Bernardino Riverside areas are our listening audience at KCAA. I want to thank those people over there for bringing you the show. I think we've been on the air for 9 years or so. So that's a long time, and I do appreciate it. We reach areas of L.A. County and Orange County, and we've been all over in terms of New Mexico and out in Las Vegas and up in the Tahoe area. So, yeah, welcome and thanks again for listening to the show. Okay, so Julie Reese joins us now from ARCA Lending. That's a company that we've done business with for any number of years at Malibu Funding. That's a sponsor of the show. She comes to us now to talk a little bit about some of the solutions they're offering to their borrowers. Julie, how are you?
I'm excellent, thank you.
Excellent, thank you very much. Okay, give us a little bit of information, not only about what y'all are doing, but some of the newer and maybe innovative programs that you're offering now since the market continually changes.
Excellent, yes, we are extremely busy. We do alternative lending. ACRA Lending specializes in non-QM. We have many, many products to offer people, not only self-employed, but unique circumstances with their income, maybe the type of documentation they have to provide. And we also specialize with unique properties, just anything kind of off the conventional conforming guidelines we'll take a look at. So it's very, very much of an opportunity for a lot of people who wouldn't normally qualify for a regular loan.
Okay, let me give you a little bit of a scenario. We had a deal down in Arizona, and it was a rural property. It was actually a farm and had any number of acres. We had a devil of a time getting an appraisal out there. But in situations like that, is this like right in your wheelhouse, or is this something outside of what you guys would do?
It actually is. We'll have LTV restrictions depending on the ruralness of the area.
Okay.
I've had this happen in several different places like Idaho,
right.
Maybe the suburbs of New York. Sometimes the records are outdated for these. They always want to check. But if it is truly a rural property with rural property characteristics, we will allow those purchases and refinances from 65 to 70% max LTV.
Okay.
All we do really is adjust the rate. So with our products, if we make an exception, we adjust the rate. It doesn't mean we'll throw it out. We will take a look at it. Anything, you know, that seems logical, we'll go ahead and take it into consideration.
Now, obviously, the way you're speaking about a property like this, which again was a scenario that came up a year, 2 years ago for me, sounds like you do a lot of manual underwriting, and maybe you could explain what that is for people and the benefit to you as the borrower or to the borrower in a situation whereby you have a person rather than a machine looking at the loan.
Of course. Traditional loan products are basically underwritten by a software system. We're, if you want to call it old fashioned, we do have an underwriter and a team that look at each specific file with as much logic as possible.
Right.
We weigh out the risk to the loan by looking at compensating factors. We're taking a look at the credit. We're taking a look at the property. We're taking a look at the equity, any number of variables to try and get the loan approved.
Okay, so I hear you. What I was thinking about, okay, so you get the loan approved. Does that also mean you get it to funding? I mean, obviously there's a difference between getting an approval and getting a loan.
Of course, yeah, and that's where individuals looking at the file, experienced people, myself first off, obviously,
sure.
With as a team with the broker or loan officer, we'll take a look at all of the factors before we submit it. Once we submit it, obviously, we're pretty confident on the approval, and that means also very confident on the funding. So with so many people looking at things and just from a logical perspective and a risk perspective for the lender, if we have a loan that's approved, most generally, in case of a rare freak incident on title or something, but these will typically fund.
Now, do you have any issues? Now, I brought up appraisals earlier, just simply because during the height, I guess about a year ago, a little bit more than a year ago, we had problems getting appraisals done just because it was so busy. Now that it's slowed mm-hmm. down, any issues with appraisals at all?
No, actually, they've been coming in on schedule
okay.
Rather quickly. The only thing we do see trending now is depreciating value. So depending on what area the home is in, the appraiser might make a notation in the report that there's some declining values happening, which we'll take into consideration on our valuation.
I see. So that would mean that they would have to either come in with more money probably or get a reduction in the price of the property just because the appraisal came in lower than expected?
Not in all cases. Certain types of loan, it may affect that structure. If it's a business purpose loan on an investment property, that might play a factor in the ratios when considering the rent versus the value.
Now, the formula for lending, is it more based on the borrower, the program, the money down, or the credit score?
So we start off, I kind of like to call it an a la carte or custom-built program for
okay.
each person. So we start with a FICO score, that is your base, and then you'll get a start rate with the FICO and the LTV combined. From there, you add on what we call adjustments.
Okay.
Those are basically exceptions we make. So if you're a foreign national, if you're an ITIN, if this is a primary residence or non-owner occupied, if it's a short-term rental, if it's an adult care facility.
Okay.
And anything basically a la carte you're adding on for the exception for each unique part of the borrower's circumstances.
Okay. No, that makes a lot of sense. And when it comes to FICO or when it comes to program, what is the popular program? What are you selling more, I guess, than any other program? Is it the ITIN product? Is it the bank statement? Is it P&L? What kind of loans are you doing?
Right now, the majority of the loans going through are self-employed borrowers
okay.
with 12 months of either personal or business bank statements. They qualify those deposits on the statements are their income. So we take a portion of those. On the personal statements, they can use 100% of eligible deposits. And on the business bank statements, they can use 50% of the eligible deposits as qualifying income. Those are extremely popular right now. The majority of our loans are bank statement purchases.
Okay, and in all of these purchases, you're obviously looking for a certain down payment. What did you say the down payment was again?
The down payment, again, is going to be based on their qualifying FICO score.
So I see.
We can go up to 90% on the higher tier with the credit. 90% that is without any MI. So
okay.
it's a great product if they qualify. The turn there is they would need some reserves, obviously, to go into the transaction with that high of a loan to value.
I see. Okay. And you are California-based? You lend nationally?
We are California-based, but we lend in, I believe it's up to 42 states now.
Okay. Wow, so, that's good.
Yeah, it's a lot. And then we even, for LOs, we have non-NMLS, if they're business purpose loans.
Right.
So if you are
like a DSCR?
Do loans, correct, a DSCR. If they want to do a business purpose loan in another state, we have non-licensed states as well for people who don't carry a license in those approved states.
Well, you're offering a lot of solutions, and I can hear that obviously you're doing a lot of business experience type of person. What do you expect out of the rest of the year, both by the rate and about the economy? Do you have a crystal ball share with us?
Well, I mean, I'm enthusiastic. It's picking up, with what we're doing in the non-QM. I am not surprised. We're really busy. So
okay.
I think as far as this type of product, we're going to stay busy. Unfortunately, with the interest rates rising, we can't keep our rates as low as we want to. But we're still, definitely in the market to help people get an affordable rate, and get into their property.
Absolutely. Julie, we're up against it. Could you shout out or let people know how they can get in touch with you directly, especially about some of these great programs?
Of course. You can email me anytime or give me a call. I don't know, we can maybe do a message out. Jeff, do you have an email or like a private messaging service, or should I just give my email out?
Just to hand it out if you want to. That makes it simple. I'm old. I don't know how to do any of that fancy stuff.
All right, no worries.
Thank you.
So you can email me direct at julie.reese@acralending.com.
Excellent. Okay, Julie, thank you very much, and thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it very much. I know you're a busy person.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's Julie Reese from ARCA Lending. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show. You know, we can be seen, this show, on YouTube each and every week. Jeff Barton, the Mortgage Voice. The reason we put it on YouTube, it's accessible, it's easy to see, and you can not only hear me, but you can see me, as well as pictures of the guests. If you want to see some of the guests, you can go to the website, and that is themortgagevoice.com. And certainly we are on a number of podcasts, and we'll tell you what those are right now. Daryl?
Yeah, we certainly are. We've got Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, iHeartMedia, Audacity, YouTube, and podclips.io.
Audacity, what's that one?
That's they make a device where to listen to the radio.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Anyway, podclips.io, that's a great place that you can centralize all your podcast wants and needs. If you're like me and you just, you can't search around, you don't know how to search around or however it works, podclips.io, which you can get on your internet, has any number of different varieties of people that can come on and tell you some things that you may or may not know, very entertaining as well as educational, whether it's lifestyle, whether it's financial like I'm doing, whether it's health, any number of different topics, go to it, podclips.io. And thank you, everybody. I am Jeff Barton, and this is The Mortgage Voice. We were talking earlier about everything happening in the spring, quote-unquote spring buying season, what's going on. One of the things that we often talk about, the scarcity of real estate, whether it's a rental that you want to rent or a house that you want to buy, a condo that you want to buy. And one of the reasons for that, and we've talked about this over the course of the show many times, is that since 08, institutional investors, whether it's the Arrive Homes, which is a REIT-type investment where they go out and buy a bunch of homes, and you can buy investment in that portfolio, and we talked about it because Bill Gates was behind it, one of the big investors behind it, or it's any number of other institutional, and I'll read some off to you, got into buying houses in bulk. Tens and thousands of houses were purchased this way in 2008 to 2012. A lot of what they call the shadow inventory. That's a term you may have heard, which in any kind of market where you have a recession or you have some kind of housing eruption, the dot-com bubble or the housing bubble in 08, you would expect that there would be a lot of discounted houses in the marketplace because all these people walked away from their mortgages and the bank doesn't want to keep it on their books, or Fannie Mae doesn't want to, or you know, any number of other people who are seeing losing assets, they want to get rid of them. So there was this expectation at that time, as there is an expectation today, that all these houses would become available and that people who are looking, not only looking for good deals, but looking for a first-time home buy. And traditionally, first-time home buyers have always had a really special place in not only my own heart, but in the country's heart. You know, you're new, you're young, you want to start something, you want to be in a family, you want to get it going. You look for the starter home. Well, those particular parameters on starter homes, on expectations of shadow inventory coming to the market in mass, driving the price to whereby somebody could come in and start their own life by purchasing one of these houses, doesn't exist anymore. One of the reasons it doesn't exist anymore is because, as I said, institutional buyers come in and buy in bulk tens and thousands of houses. So if you're a lender and you have, you know, 5 to 10,000 houses, which are all in default because people stopped buying or stopped paying their mortgage because they owed more than what it was worth, or they just couldn't afford it because they lost their job, those particular banks would say, hey, yeah, if someone's going to come in and buy them all from me, especially if it's not at the deep discount that I'm going to have to sell in the retail market, absolutely, let's move these things off our books. And so it became an attractive alternative. And you had the Fed or the federal government or loans from those entities through their tributaries, whether it's the big box bank or hedge funds and foreign investments and insurance funds. They all funded these types of large purchases by these entities, these corporations, who would then turn them around and rent them out. Well, that's happened, and let's just go through a few of these companies, and you may know some. The institutional investors, read about it today. The control of U.S. housing is at stake, and by 2030, there will be more control of rental property by these institutional buyers than actually in the marketplace on single-family homeowners who rent them out. There are companies like Tricon Residential, Progress Residential, American Homes for Rent, Institutional Invitation Homes, Arrive Homes, we talked about that, and they're all financed, as I say, by these, you know, Blackstones of the world, Petrium Partners of the world. And what happens in that situation where the renter does not have an opportunity to buy a home? Why? Because the homes that are available are too expensive. Why? Because there's not enough competition in terms of available product. Now, again, beginning of the show today, I talked about the availability of product, spring buying season, what traditionally has been an influx of, you know, more houses so the prices stabilize or even go down some, and that, well, that hasn't happened, and it hasn't happened in a while, and one of the reasons is this. Now, there are a number of people who will point to, no, it's not that bad. It's just, you know, people buying at an opportunity to be able to offer rentals. Well, the rental prices, as we all know, have been coming down over the last 6-7 months. We've seen a decrease in rental prices overall in the marketplace, which is a good thing. But the availability of housing in order to purchase for new first-time home buyers, step-up market, step-down market, is less because large institutional investors are buying up properties. It's not good. Legislation has been, you know, proposed by any number of different Democratic House members, Democratic senators, in order to control this and limit it. I don't know if that's the solution or it's somehow getting the large builders to build more, or small infill deals. But it's always NIMBA. It's always difficult to do. So the existing inventory becomes more valuable, and by taking those properties off the market, which could be bought and sold as single-family residences, into large-scale institutional renters, that also hurts the marketplace. For people who own, it's great because the prices go up, and they continue to go up. Even in this market, even in last year's market, went up 6.5%, 7%. They've gone up 34% in the last 4 years. It's pretty amazing, right? Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton. This is the Mortgage Voice. So let's get into a little bit more of what's happening in the mortgage rate industry. What's happening in mortgage rates overall? Well, as I said earlier, mortgage interest rates have gone up to almost 7% again. And the reason for that is obvious. There is scarcity in funds available for you to purchase a home right now. And because of that fact, they can charge more money for the homes. They can charge more money for the mortgage on the home. And that is a direct result of the ability or the inability of institutional lenders like Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Citibank, and who's the other one? Chase Manhattan. These people all got out of retail, right? They will lend to larger entities, United Wholesale, Quicken, or Rocket Mortgages. Those are the two biggest lenders in the country. They're not banks. They're just lenders, and they have to borrow money. So the money coming from the large banks who borrow from the Fed, who borrow from the Treasury, they are now charging more to those entities, and those entities are passing on that increase to us. Because it's no longer about the 10-year. It's no longer about the spread between the 2 and the 10-year. It's no longer about sentiment. It's no longer about any of that. What it is that the money is scarce. Banks are afraid that we're going to have an implosion. To cover that fear, even though the sentiment on housing is bullish, even though the sentiment on the economy is bullish, those particular lenders in those particular areas have raised their price in order to cover, in fact, if we do see a bottoming out in the housing market, which, by the way, may have already happened. Imagine if we saw another 10% increase in prices this year. There's a lot to discuss. I've had on the show today a lot of great guests. Hope you tune in again. We'll see you next time. I'm Jeff Barton. This is The Mortgage Voice. We'll see you.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit www.malibufunding.net.